Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast,
the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday.
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing
the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hello, champion. It's Sam Crowley. Welcome back to the show. Got a great story for you. At least it was great for me. And if you would just please indulge me, this was a big step that I took. I'm always talking about stepping outside of your comfort zone, doing things that you've never done before. When was the last time you did something for the first time? Well, that happened to me today, and I just want to share it with you. Okay, so here we go. We were involved with our church movement called Safe Families, okay? And basically what it is you donate whatever you can, your time, stuff you have around the house, to help other families in need. So we had this crib that Susan was in. We call it the Miracle Crib. You know, our baby girl was born. She came home in this crib. It's a brand new, is it Jenny Lynn, ladies? Am I saying that right? Or is it Pottery Barn? I don't know. Pottery Barn. I think it's a Pottery Barn crib. And Susan slept in it forever, just until recently, like last month. We just got our little girl bed. And so we found out through church, through the program called Safe Families, that there was a couple who was expecting a child coming up here in December that was in need of a crib. So my wife and I went out to Target yesterday and bought a little brand new baby mattress for it. I took the crib apart, which, stop right there. I mean, literally stop. With an Allen wrench, I am dangerous. Like, I don't even know what to do with an Allen wrench. I'm the least handy individual you'll ever find. But I managed to take the crib apart, and this was last month I took the crib apart. We bought the mattress yesterday because we wanted to replace the mattress and got brand new bedding and all that stuff at Target for the family that we were going to donate the crib to. But the actual bed I took apart last month, and what I should have done was take a video of it or photos, but I was like, hey, God will bless this, man. We'll make it work. No problem at all. So I had to check, though, my wife today. I said, hey, are they expecting me to put the bed together? She's like, yeah, you're not going to just leave a bunch of bed rails and, you know, the box spring there. I'm like, okay, cool. So I love donating time and money and whatever I can donate. And I know you do, too. So I'm not saying I'm any better than you. I'm just saying that makes me feel good. I think it makes everybody feel good to give, right? I mean, we always feel better when we give versus taking. That's why that Disney trip was so difficult for my wife and I to receive, because that's just, it's not usual for us. It's not that we give away millions of dollars, but we certainly don't take stuff. You know, we just, it's just not our mindset. Anyway, that's not about me. Anyway, so I'm driving over to what could only be described as the ghetto outside of Cincinnati, and a really, really tough-looking neighborhood. And I pull up to the street, had the GPS going. It's about a 30-minute drive from my home. And as I'm getting closer, I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, wow. I'm a 49-year-old white guy. I live in the suburbs, and I don't get into the ghettos very often. And I think God's telling me, hey, buddy, you really should, okay? You really should get outside your comfort zone. And I'm going to. This felt really good today for a number of reasons. So I go up. I knock on the door. And the young mother comes to the door, and I guess they probably didn't get a good night's sleep last night, because I think I literally woke them up. It was 9:30 in the morning, and I introduced myself, Sam Crowley with Safe Families. I've got the crib here to deliver. Can I bring it in? She's like, yeah, sure, bring it in. And their names were Janae and Lorenzo, and they had another child as well there. And the first thing that hit me is my kids have no idea. My kids have no idea how good they have it. Their biggest challenge is when the Wi-Fi goes down, or, hey, who's logged into my Netflix account? And as much as my wife and I try to explain to them, girls, you have no clue how good you have it. I mean, from a number of different reasons. Just everything. From the color of your skin, to how you were born, to how much your parents love you, to the fact that you actually have two parents in the home when they come home, the fact that we make lunches for you and dinner and we take you places. I mean, you just have no idea how good. And I don't even mean compared to like the worst of the worst situations. Sometimes just compared to most people, you just have no idea how good you have it. And that's the first thing that went through my mind. So I brought the crib upstairs and I was like, oh boy, God, please help me put this thing together. I got an Allen wrench. I got a bunch of screws and I got to put a crib together, which with one person ain't that easy because typically you'd need one person to hold the bed rail while you screw it in. But the long story short, because I will make this long story short, is I was able to match up the holes with the screws and the Allen wrench was turning in the right direction, you know, righty tighty, lefty loosey. And I got it all put together and I look back after I put the box spring in and I put the brand new mattress on there. And I must say, I said, damn, Sammy boy, look at what you just did. Look at what happened, man. You put a bed together. Isn't that amazing? And so the whole time I was putting the bed together, I said, God, help me end this visit with prayer. I want to pray for them, but I've never done this. I've never done it in my life. Like, I've never said, hey, can we pray? That's just, it's not natural for me. And I'm growing. Those of you that follow the show, if you've been listening for 10 years, 12 years to this podcast, you know how much growth is going on. I would never ask you, the listener, to do anything that I wouldn't, you know, do myself. So this for me is huge. It's just huge. I'm thinking, God, please put the words in my mouth. Don't make me sound like an idiot. And then when they do allow me to pray, what am I going to say? I have no idea what to say. I mean, I'm a speaker, but yeah, I could do a podcast, but how do I pray? I have no idea. So as I'm turning these Allen wrench screws in, I'm trying to slow down the process because it's the faster I get done means I'm going to have to ask them if I can pray with them. And it made me nervous. It just made me incredibly nervous and awkward because I don't do this. Think of something that you would normally do and you would feel awkward doing. That's how I felt. So I'm all done. Janae comes up and says, wow, thank you so much. I said, you know what? I want to share it. My daughter was born at 24 weeks. This is a little miracle bed, Janae and Lorenzo. She's born at 24 weeks. My wife's water broke at 23 weeks. And our miracle baby spent 221 days in Children's Hospital. She came home on a vent, and then this is the crib. There's some great karma here for you, and this is really going to bless you. And I said, here it comes. Here it comes. Then I thought, oh, God, as I'm walking back down the stairs, I could have taken one step down the stairs and kept going. I took one step, and I stopped. And I said, hey, can I pray for you guys? Silence. Silent. She's like, sure. Lorenzo's like, yeah, man. And his little son, he had been two or so, was sitting there. I was like, great. So I put my arm around Janae, and I just prayed for him. And I asked God to bless their family health-wise, bless this new baby, bless them, give them abundance in finances, in relationships, in health, keep their family close, and let them be safe. Let this family be safe. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. And I was like, that's it. It felt amazing. It felt amazing. Like what it probably felt for you when you've prayed. It felt as if God was using the Holy Spirit to work through you and use you to pray. So, hey, anyway, that's my story for today. I got uncomfortable, way outside my comfort zone. And this, I appreciate you indulging me, allow me to share this story with you. I know this was all about me today, but in a sense, I want to encourage you to get uncomfortable because this was really uncomfortable for me. I don't do this, okay? I don't pray in public. I don't even know the words to say. I'm an introvert. You probably didn't know that either. I go speak, like I'm speaking in LA next weekend and Orlando after that. I'll be in my room 23 hours a day. The only time I come out is to be around 1,000 people in a room, which is really wild. I don't know if most speakers are like that, introverted. That's who I am. It's not that I don't like people. It's just that, you know, I think it goes back to, you know, when I was a kid, I spent all my time in my room. My mom was an alcoholic, and I always tried to make sure that I was not in the same room as her when she was drinking, and she was usually downstairs after work, so I always spent my time upstairs in my room, you know, whether it was playing Atari, Asteroid, Space Invaders, watching a movie on VHS, or just kind of hanging out, or, you know, when I wasn't in my room, I was at a friend's house. But I think that might have a little to do why I'm a little bit of an introvert is I always spent, you know, a lot of my childhood in my room when the atmosphere wasn't so great, the environment wasn't so great. So now, you know, going to put together that bed, that crib, and all of that, and then asking that family at the end to pray for them. You know what, though? When I didn't make it about me, and that's the lesson. So let's wrap it with that thought. When you don't make it about you, there's no pressure. When you start making it about you, then you put the focus on you and there's all this pressure and you start thinking, what about me? What about me? What about me? But when you put the emphasis on them, the person who you're blessing, whether that's being speaking or whether you're, you know, digging a ditch for somebody or creating a computer or, you know, doing movie editing or doing legal work for them or you're a teacher, whatever it is, when you make it about them and not about you, isn't it true? There is no pressure, you know? And that's when I took that first step down the stairs, I said, Sammy, you're making it about you, man. This is God blessing them through you, just like that Disney trip was. You know, don't make it about you, man. Get the ego out of here, Crowley. Get the freaking ego out of the room, man. This ain't about you at all. What the hell's wrong with you? So that's what God was saying to me. And so anyway, I hope this blessed you and empowered you to go make yourself uncomfortable, do things you wouldn't normally do, say things you wouldn't normally say in a good way. Man, God knows we need more people like you out there doing that type of stuff. Are you with me? Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.